for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Thursday evening, April 20th, 2000. Passover camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. And coffee. She's here, so I'm going to ask her to come up here and say hello. She teaches the ladies' session in the afternoons up in the meeting room upstairs, and she'll be teaching up there both tomorrow and Saturday. And she probably will have an afternoon session, I imagine, but we'll take care of that and see how she is between now and Saturday afternoon or Friday afternoon or whatever.
I am.
She's from Millington, Tennessee. Got a little church over there that she pastors and has been for many years.
20 years.
When she got out of the Baptist, you know, why then...
You know, that was the hardest thing for me to do, to minister, preach, because of coming out of the Baptist church. And I had a man come in church one Sunday morning. We were in a little church in Brighton, and he's sitting in the back there, and it was my morning to preach. My husband would lead singing, and I would preach, and I would lead singing, then he would preach. We just kind of took turns about, you know. And of course, he'd get up and help me a lot of times, and I'd help him, you know, preach. But Jim had led singing that morning, and it was my time, you know, to get busy and bring the word. And all of a sudden, as I was praying, when I finished praying, I saw a man standing up in the back of the church. He says, "I beg your pardon, are you fixing to preach?" And I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Well, I'm leaving." And I said, "Well," I called him brother, and I wasn't sure he was my brother. I said, "Well, brother, that's up to you if you don't want to hear me preach." Well, I found out he came in deliberately to do that. The lady that's house was next door to ours, a church, said he'd been up there three times wanting to know for sure if that was where the woman preacher was. And he came in and then stood up and left. So, kind of left me speechless for a little bit, because I was having a hard time anyways as coming out of a Baptist church and being a woman preacher. But the Lord gave me to understand that the calling he had called me for, if I didn't walk in it, I'd answer, stand before him and give account of it. And so when he did that, I said, "Lord, you just have to take care of all the rest of it." So he has, and I praise the Lord. And Brother Graham was talking about we needed to get our faith built up. You know, the Lord's had me. So I lost my husband back in November. Oh, okay. I'm making noises. Oh, sorry. But in November, I lost my husband. And so, you know, when you lose the pastor of the church, it really does something to your congregation. So the Lord had instructed me to get back into the teach faith in Jesus. And I've been teaching on that wonderful name of Jesus. And I tell you, it has done wonders in our church. And I praise the Lord for it. Yes, I'm called into deliverance. That was the ministry God gave me. And my husband, he was really the pastor, and I was the teacher in the church, because he pastored the people, and I taught what the Lord gave me to teach. And I'll tell you something, ladies. Love your husbands while you got them. I loved my husband, and I remember when he left, when he died, he was part of me died, and God's healing, and I'm not healed yet. I'm getting there. It's been hard, but the Lord has brought me through. I praise the Lord for this place, Brother Glenn, because I came over here the week after Jim died and ministered to the ladies upstairs, and I couldn't quite bring myself back down here, but during Christmas I did minister down here. But it was so hard because my husband always sat right there while I was ministering, and he was covering me and he was praying for me. But the Lord has instructed me to go on, and I'm going on, and I'm going to minister what God gives me, And I'll tell you what, tomorrow in the ladies' meeting, I'll tell you what I'm going to do, what the Lord instructed me to do. I'm going to start with salvation. And we're going on from there. Because you cannot receive deliverance and keep it unless you know Jesus. Because deliverance is the children's bread. If you're not a child of God, you have no right to it. In fact, you don't even want it, because if you got it, you wouldn't know how to keep it. You would have no protection, because you must have Jesus in you. You have the power of God in you and the Word of God to stand against the wiles of the devil. Jesus, we're walking into the kingdom. We want to walk on into tabernacle with the Lord. And without deliverance, I really don't see how you can walk in the kingdom. Because God is coming for a church without spot or wrinkle. And we need to get some of these spots and these wrinkles out. So if you want deliverance, start asking the Lord to show you what you need. And I told some of the ladies last night, I ministered to some ladies, and I said, start repenting, asking God to forgive you. And you forgive those that have hurt you, and begin to take care of the groundwork. We will go over it in the tomorrow afternoon, and we will have deliverance afterwards. And so I just praise the Lord for the opportunity to share. I had wanted to teach something else, and the Lord got me up at 5 o'clock this morning and gave this to me again, afresh and anew. So I want to share it with you tomorrow, and we're going to prepare for the deliverance that's going to come in the afternoon service. And the next day, this is just going to be the groundwork to get you ready to receive the deliverance that you desire. And so I just praise the Lord for the opportunity to share. And so I'll see you. I get up early, Brother Glenn, but it's a very long day. And I'll say this to you. Pray for me. I'm doing great physically, and God's taking care of me, but I'm still evidently fighting some of the exhaustion I went through, because sometimes I get a spirit of weakness and I have to sit down. And so I don't want to overdo it, so I want to be able to do what I'm supposed to do while I'm here, but I'm God is my strength and my source, so I'm looking forward to being able to share. Amen.
You know, you read in the scripture, I think it's four times where it says, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." And of course, for many years, I've read the Bible since I was a kid, and I've read through, I couldn't count how many times, I guess, I've read through. And I read that, and when I read it, I think, well, that's nice, but the Lord knows that nobody can do that. That was my thought. And then I begin to see that the Lord didn't ask me if I wanted to do it. I read it, I saw it. It just says, "Be ye holy." Don't say, "Would you like to? Do you want to? Can you?" It said, "Be. Be." So then when I saw that, I began to realize that we need to desire in our heart to walk in holiness before the Lord. For he says he's looking for a church without spot and wrinkle. And who's going to be in that bride, that church? Spot and wrinkle. And we talk about deliverance, and we need deliverance. Well, I don't see any other way that we're going to get to that place. Now, there's the 30-fold people and the 60-fold, and there's the 100-fold. Well, do you want to be 30 or 100? You want to be one of those that the Lord calls to be holy? Well, my desire is that I want to be an overcomer. Yes. And to be an overcomer, you're going to have to desire to be holy. You're going to have to desire to walk in righteousness. You're going to have to study the Word. And when you find something that you don't quite understand or don't fit you, you better study to see why it don't. Right. And then find out and try to do something about it. There's the sons of God. There's the overcomers. There's the elect. Where do you want to fall? It says that Scripture very plainly says that the overcomers are few and far between. There's the multitude, but I don't want to be part of that multitude. And I trust that's why you're here, because you don't want to be. Okay. Bob and Thelma Trench have come to be with us again from South Africa. Some of you have met them before. They've been here many times. And we have been with them in meetings around over the country in years past, back when full gospel businessmen circles and so forth. And Bob has been a blessing to the nations, more than just South Africa, more than America. He is a blessing, and God's using him. And he'll be ministering a couple of times. We only got enough meetings for about two apiece around, and that's about the size of it. So Bob, come up here, and I don't know, Thelma, you better come up here too. You get set down. You're the fire behind the engine here. This Scotchman here is related to that guy we call Bob Cameron by way of where he comes from. Not that they're not the same clan, no, but they come from the same area.
When you see Cameron next time, just remember, all his family was sheep stealing. he got converted. He got converted.
Well, I count it a wonderful privilege to come here again and see old friends and see new faces, and I trust I'll be able to shake hands with the new faces. And it's just wonderful, and we were blessed this evening just before supper time that two of our very old friends that we'd missed, we thought we'd heard the gentleman had passed away, and he's very much alive. And when we had the opportunity to go to Oklahoma, to Enid, Oklahoma, we gently asked the question, and the hostess said, "Well, I heard it that he died." And I said, "Oh, you know." And then we gently phoned the son, because we found his phone number in my husband's diary. And he said, "Oh, no, Mom and Dad are way up in Arkansas." And
we found out that's where the dead are supposed to go, isn't it? That's why we're here, to bring them alive, isn't it?
And so we were blessed, and they walked in and gave us a big hug each, and we were really thrilled to see them again. And really, it is wonderful when we can travel around as we do. We've given this year to the Lord. We've, closed up our businesses, but left our business. We intend doing no business while we're traveling, and we've given him to the Lord. And as doors open, so we are going to walk into it. And we want to thank and praise the Lord that he's given us the strength to do that this so far. We left home on the 12th of November, and we've been living out of suitcases ever since.
I'm ready to throw them away.
He doesn't do anything with the suitcases. I'm the one that does. But it's just wonderful to be back here with Glenn and Irma, and to see Irma looking so much better than the last time we saw her. Really, we went away with sorrow in our hearts, but kept her in our prayers. And we've asked people wherever we've been to pray for her. And I'm glad that they were at least able to find out what was troubling her, and now that she's on the mend. We praise God for you, Irma, and we praise God for you, Glenn, too. Thank you.
Well, this year is what Thelma and I see is the Jubilee year for the Lord. It's his 2000th birthday, and it lasts for 12 months, and we decided to take a Sabbath, a break from all business, and celebrate Jesus' party for 12 months. So I don't know what you're doing, but we're at a party with him, and we're celebrating his birthday, and it's going on for 12 months. I'd like to just drop a little nugget, if I may. You know, it's Easter time and what have you. One of the things that always has worried me as a businessman serving Lord Jesus, it doesn't matter who I speak to, whether I'm speaking to politicians, leaders of nations, or a man in a boardroom. They say church is so outdated. And the reason it's outdated, I want to tell you as a businessman, you have to agree with us. They say, what is it you got to know? You know the Easter story if you've heard it once or twice. You know the Christmas story if you've heard that once or twice. You know the story of Pentecost. And you go to church and they reinforce everything you jolly well know. So what's the point of going? As soon as you walk in, when the man picks up the Bible and he reads John 3, you know what he's going to say. There may be a variation on a theme, but businessmen tell you that church is boring. Now, a lot of people say no, but let me tell you, it can be very boring. And so that bugged me, and I thought, now, Lord, what is it? And the Lord shared with me, he said, if you just listen to me, you walk in the doors that I open for you, it will no longer be boring for you and the people you minister to. So let me talk to you about Easter or Passover. I decided, I'm an amateur historian, so I decided, amongst many other things, one day I thought, I'll see if I can find out what happened to Pilate, Pontius Pilate. How many would agree that he was in the most, he was in the wrong place at the wrong time for his career? How many know you can be in the wrong place at the wrong time when you meet Jesus? He doesn't come when everything's right and you're in a spiritual mood. He comes at the wrong time. And here was Pontius Pilate having a problem with Caiaphas the high priest. Caiaphas the high priest was blackmailing Pilate, apparently, according to history. Because Pilate had been involved in a plot to overthrow the emperor. And Caiaphas was telling Pilate, you do what I say, you rock my boat and I'll tell the emperor. Pilate had another problem. Joseph of Arimathea, the uncle of Jesus, was the richest man in the world, and he was in the Senate in Rome. So poor old Pilate now had a problem. He didn't want to upset the priest, but he had this other Jewish guy who was in the Senate in Rome, and he didn't want to upset him. And here comes Jesus. Furthermore, Pilate was a lawyer trained in Spain under the Druids. And his thesis was, what is truth? He spent 12 years trying to find out the definition of truth. And he asked Jesus, remember that? He said, what's truth? I mean, he thought he was the expert on it. Instead of getting a concept or a philosophy, Jesus said, I am the truth. Can you imagine that for a lawyer? But if that wasn't enough trouble for one man, he was married to a woman who was a charismatic. So he had all these political, he had all these religious problems, and worse than that, he had a charismatic wife who had a dream. Let me tell you about Pilate. The most wonderful story. When I found out what happened to Pilate, I cried for days. I found out that, in a most mysterious way I may share later on, Pilate ended up by not only being a disciple of Jesus Christ, but they've now found his tombstone in Switzerland. And they give you Pontius Pilate, trained and educated in Avignon Creek or somewhere in England, and this and that. And then right at the end it says, the apostle of Jesus Christ to Switzerland. You cannot meet with Jesus and be true and leave him the way he met you. You'll never be the same. You'll be a lot better or you'll be a lot worse. I've got to tell you this. I know people that could come to this meeting and to this campground, and if you don't have the right attitude, you may not be better off when you leave this place. You have to mix this word with faith. I don't care who speaks from here. I don't care how powerful the word, how much anointing's on a man. Unless you mix it with faith, it's not going to do you much good. Is that it? Super.
We have a book. I was just walking back there. I can't put my finger on it, and I don't know for sure it's laying, called the Arco Volume. And in that book, there is a letter that is in the archives of the of Rome, where Pontius Pilate, he had to make a report on the death of Jesus. It was required by Roman law. And in that Arco Volume is the letter that he wrote about the death of Jesus in there. And it's a very interesting letter. David Brogdon is going to teach us while he's here about Passover, or things related to that. Now, this year is an unusual year in many, many ways. Many ways. And I like to have Passover camp meetings at Passover, not just on the day that they say is Easter. And so in the past, we've had camp meeting different weekends. This year, it happens to be that yesterday was the 14th day of the month from the new moon for Passover. So last night at sundown, Passover started. And it runs, yesterday afternoon, Jesus was crucified, according to the right calendar. I don't know what day of the week it was. That I don't know. It wasn't. It could have been any day of the week that we know, but because it falls on the 14th day of the new moon, and Jesus was not crucified on Friday. He didn't rise on Sunday. Jesus was crucified because he said, as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale, so will he be in the earth. And you can't get crucified on Friday and rise on Sunday and be there for 3 days and three nights. So if your theology has taught you that, you do some study and change your theology, because it's wrong. And so sunrise service is an abomination to God. Sunrise service is actually worship of the sun god. That's where it started. That's what it is. And so you want nothing to do with a sunrise service. Jesus was crucified yesterday afternoon. He was buried at sunset. And so he was in the grave last night. We'll call it Wednesday night. He'll be in the grave Thursday night. He'll be in the grave Friday night. And at sunset Saturday, he rose 3 days and three nights in the grave. Sunday morning, the first day of the week, was when Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and found it open. But he had already been risen for several hours when she found that. All you got to do is study a little history, put some mathematics together in sensible reason, and you come up with these things. We've been brainwashed with too many traditions. There's lots and lots of traditions in the church from different denominations that many of us have fallen to believe, and they are not so. So from time to time, you'll hear me talk about different things such as this that are traditions and not scriptural. But we need to try to the best of our ability to walk after the things of the Lord as they are scriptural. Now, David's going to, I don't know what I've done here to David, but David, come and say hello for a few minutes to all of us. And you can take your time. We don't have to get out of here until 11 o'clock, and that'll give Tommy 2 hours, and so we're okay. This is David Brogdon from Jacksonville, Illinois. He's an electrical engineer, works in that field. That's his tent making. But his business is serving the King.
Forever and ever.
Forever and ever.
Amen and amen. It's hard to follow this brother here. Boy, I tell you, he was stirred up. Got me going. People ask me when I travel around and minister throughout the country and outside the country, what is the Lord doing today? So I'm going to ask you, what's the Lord doing today? He's still working miracles, isn't he? But more importantly, the Lord is beginning to restore, isn't he? He's been restoring for a number of years, and the restoration process seems to be accelerating. And he's bringing us into more truths that have been hidden. We were chatting today, another gentleman and myself, we talked about the mystery of iniquity that is abounding in the church already, but there's also the mystery of godliness that God is bringing us to. He wants us to be a holy people. He's bringing forth the people that are, Matthew 5 and 8 says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. That word pure is a special word, katharo, and it's interesting because it means every part of my being has to be centered on Jesus, every thought, not to the right, not to the left. That's what real purity, and that's the same word used in Peter also, where it says, be holy for I am holy. That same word holy is the same word katharo, means purity and holiness. So what's the Lord doing? He's restoring his people. There's an excitement in the body of Christ. There's a hunger in the body of Christ for truth. As Brother Glenn has said, there's been much that has been taught that's been erroneous in the body of Christ, and God is raising up his ministers today, and he's setting the foundation. He's raising up his apostles, his prophets, his men and women of God that he's sending forth to bring and restore truth to the body of Christ. So that group of people, the overcomers, the first fruit company, whatever, are going to rise up full of Jesus. It can't be anything other. There's nothing that is going to be of the flesh that will enter into the Holy of Holies, and that's the hundredfold. No flesh shall enter in. I have for almost 20 years studied on the feast, and I never quit learning about these things. And in fact, what has been transpiring here this evening, some of the scriptures and some of the things that have been talked about, is actually what I want to bring out some things. In Isaiah 53, it says he was bruised for something. Our iniquities. I don't know if I've ever heard anybody ever teach much on iniquities, but I'm going to. And I'm going to show you what Jesus did for us and how we can escape some of the things that are happening in our lives because of the iniquities of our fathers and forefathers. You know, we talk of generational curses are caused from the iniquities. Oh, boy. That's what it says. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 9. To the third and the fourth generation because of the iniquities. So we're going to study that out a little bit and perhaps open your understanding and help you get free from some iniquitous things that have bound you. Anybody here, I'll just throw this out for a little taster. Anybody here ever dealt in Avon or was an Avon dealer or anything like that? Don't raise your hands. Avon is a Hebrew word, and it means iniquity or perverseness.
Okay. Again, for some of you, you've never met Brother Tommy Cook. So if you don't know, you need 20 fingers instead of 10 because he's going to use... I counted one time, and he used almost 100 scriptures one night in one service. So either if you're going to write them down, write them. Don't try to look them up because you may not be able to keep up with him. But maybe you'll be different tonight. Brother Tommy has a church over in Tulsa, a group, I don't know what to call it, a church. It's a body of Christ over there. And he's got a couple, three of his parishers here with him tonight have come to be with us. But Brother Tommy's been ministering here for many, many long moons. And we appreciate it, and we appreciate the ministry that the Lord's given him. He has a prophetic ministry and a teaching ministry. Well, Brother Tommy, come, and when you say a good night, why, everybody's ready for bed.
Praise God. Praise the Lord. Let's stand. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. I'm glad you're here tonight.
Amen.
Praise God. Father, we thank you and bless you.
Yes, Lord.
We honor your name tonight, Lord Jesus. We're nothing without you. We submit to you, the head of the body. If you are the head, you'll always be the head, Lord.
Yes.
Father God. And we thank you that you're making us whole. We
yes,
know it's a process, but you're doing your work in all of us. In Jesus' name, and we all said,
Amen.
May the Lord bless you. Praise God.
Okay, let's turn over to, I want to turn to a scripture tonight. If you can find it here in just a minute. I want to go to Exodus in just a second. Exodus chapter, I think it's 29. Let's go over there in just a minute here if we can. Exodus chapter 29.
Hallelujah.
And how many believe that trouble's on its way?
Yes.
Exodus 29. But how many know Jesus always moves when there's trouble?
Yes.
How many's ever been in trouble and Jesus moved for you?
Yes.
He rescued you. He did something for you. Amen? Praise God. I'm sorry, it's Exodus 12. I said 29. I'm shooting for the moon, I think. Exodus chapter 12, verse 29. Now, how many know that God uses the enemy? Does he? Exodus 12, 29. It came to pass that at midnight. And how many know midnight is real? It speaks of darkness. It speaks sometime when it's hopeless or destruction. We could talk about a lot of things. It looks many times like there's total annihilation in some lives, judgment, plagues. And how many know Christians are comfortable today and lukewarm? And many are low of oil, and Jesus wants to do something about that. Amen? But here in Exodus chapter 12, he says, came to pass that at midnight the Lord did something. He smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt. How many know Egypt is the picture of the world?
Yes.
From the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne to the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of cattle. He killed the firstborn. How many here tonight are the firstborn in your family? Anybody? Okay, I got several. Praise God. Now, if you look at Exodus 13, verse 2, the Lord said, sanctify unto me all the firstborn, whatsoever openeth the womb among the children of Israel, both of man and of beast. Notice what the Lord says. It is what? It is mine. Now, I was going to go into midnight and teach that way, but I was just sitting there. I'm going to change it, okay? I'm going the way the Lord wants me to go. Is that all right? But we're going to touch some things. But I said the Lord uses the enemy. Now, look in Psalm 78. Look in Psalm 78. And I want to show you here when it said the Lord killed that firstborn, who did he use? Psalm 78. And look at verses, I think it's 41, somewhere through there. Hallelujah. Let's go down to verse 43. How he had wrought his signs in Egypt, his wonders in the field of Zoan, and had turned their rivers into blood, their floods that they could not drink. He sent divers sorts of flies among them, which devoured them, and frogs which devoured them. He gave also their increase unto the caterpillar, and their labor to the locusts. He destroyed their vines with hail and the sycamore trees with frost. He gave up their cattle also to the hail and their flocks to the hot thunderbolts. He cast upon them fierceness of his anger, wrath, indignation, and trouble by sending something. What did he send?
Evil angels
among them. How many see that?
Yeah.
How many know God will use the enemy? Come on, help me now.
Yeah.
Amen. And so God used these evil angels to destroy there in Egypt. Now turn with me to Revelation 16. Praise God. Revelation 16. I believe it's 16 I want. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 13. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs. Well, if unclean spirits look like frogs, how many know we don't need them in our house? But more than that, we don't need them in us. And they came out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast. Here's a false trinity here. And out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are spirits. Everybody say that. They're spirits of devils. Notice, working miracles. I want to get away from that microphone. Working miracles. So at the end of the age, the Lord said that there's going to be false miracles by devils. Did he say that?
Yeah.
Well, how many know we better have some discernment to know the difference?
Yeah.
There are spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth to the kings of the earth and the whole world. What for? To gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Now, man's had his day, but how do you know God's going to have his? And yet God's going to use demons, devils, to gather people in that day to that battle. Verse 15. At the same time, it says, behold, I come as a thief. Now, Jesus is not a thief, but his coming is like a thief. The only secret coming that I see in the Bible is within you. When Jesus comes from heaven, literally, how many know the world's going to know it? There's a song that says, and they won't even know we're gone. And I say, hogwash. Everybody's going to know when Jesus comes. Amen? But he says here, and I used to say baloney with that, okay? Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth. What are we going to watch? How many would like to know what we're going to watch for? Would you like to know what it is? Yourself. You have to watch what you think, your attitude, what you do, things you say. How many know we're all in the same boat? Come on, help me now. Not watch your brother, watch yourself. And those that keep his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. You know, Jesus said that before Pentecost, that there was a tear in Jerusalem, right, to receive the Holy Ghost. How many remember that?
Yes.
And the Bible said they were endued with power, come on, from on high.
Yes.
How many thank God for endowment?
Yes.
Amen. It means to be clothed upon with a garment. And here he said, blessed are those who are going to watch and those that are going to keep their garments. Otherwise, they're going to be like Laodicea. They're going to walk naked. And how many know the natural, if you're naked, there's a shame, isn't there? But how much more in the Spirit do we walk in the church and see people naked?
Yes.
Because their relationship with the Holy Ghost and with the Lord is nil. Come on, help me now. How many know he is our garment?
Yes, he is.
And as we fellowship with him, come on, he's clothing us, not just outwardly, but inwardly. Can you say amen? Now, let me show you this. Look at Psalms 45. I'm coming back to this. Hold your place there. Psalms 45. Hallelujah. Psalms 45. And I would like to look down in this chapter to verses 13. And he said, the king's daughter is all glorious. How many of those going to have a glorious church without? Come on. Forget about that microphone. Spot or wrinkle. Hallelujah. Notice this. She's glorious where? Within. Her clothing is a wrought gold. That divine nature is in her. And she should be brought. Thanks, Crystal. She should be brought to the king in raiment of needlework, embroidered work. Now, how many know you use the needle with your fingers? Is that right? Apostle, come on. Prophet, teacher, shepherd, evangelist. And how many know it's a blessing to read this because he's bringing us somewhere? Where are we going to be brought? To the king. Come on, the king himself. Amen? Now, how many know it hurts to get stuck with a needle? Huh? You know, in and out. Come on. In and out. How many believe you've been stuck lately by some ministry? Maybe apostle. Come on, prophet or teacher, whoever God's using. But how many know that they're getting stuck as well? Is that right? Amen. And yet he said that we're being brought to the king in raiment of needlework. Hallelujah. And she's glorious within. Her clothing is of wrought gold. Now back to Revelation. What a contrast. Talking about demons and having the garment of the Lord upon us. Amen? But he says to us, now I want to look at this again. Again in verse 14. They are spirits of devils working miracles. And that go forth to the kings of the earth and the whole world. to gather them to the battle of the great day of God Almighty. Somebody needs to reach some of these kings of the nations, like Brother Trench and others. Amen? Come on. Now, let's go over to Isaiah 13, and let's see how this battle, about this battle that we're talking about there in Revelation. Isaiah 13. Praise God. I don't know how the Lord's going to put this together, because I ain't got no idea. I just know I got all my notes out here, and I ain't going to use them. Isaiah 13. Look at verse 3. I have commanded. How many know God commands some things? Amen? My sanctified ones, my holy ones, those that are being made holy, God's commanding. Come on, amen? I have also called my mighty ones. You know God's got some mighty ones? I'm not just talking about his angels. How many know he has some mighty ones on the other side over there? How many believe that? Now hold your place, go to Joel chapter 3. Joel chapter 3. Okay. Now in Joel chapter 1, you got desolation. Chapter 2, restoration. Chapter 3, judgment. In Joel 3, don't find the scripture. Joel chapter 3. Look with me in verse 11. Assemble yourselves and come, all you heathen, and gather yourselves together round about thither. Cause thy mighty ones to come down, O Lord. Do you hear that? The Lord has some mighty ones that's going to come down. Have you heard that?
Yes.
Now go to Zechariah 10. Hallelujah. Zechariah 10. How many believe we're going to be joined forces by some on the other side? Hallelujah. Zechariah chapter 10. I know it's in my Bible here. Okay. Now, the Lord is speaking about this latter rain coming in the time of the latter rain. He said we're to ask for it. And how many know when you ask, come on, you're going to receive. Isn't that right? But you ask at the right time by the Holy Spirit. It's going to happen. And he says that in verse 1. Now, when you ask about, when you talk about this outpouring of the latter rain, how many know that's the third day we're coming, we're in? The ingathering of God, the restoration of God. We talk about Zion in this. We talk about the Feast of Tabernacles. There's a lot of things we go into. But the Lord tells us to ask for this rain. Then in verse 2, he talks about those that are in divination. How many believe there's a lot of people in the world in divination and in the church? Come on, help me now. And then he talks about the shepherds in verse 3. He's going to deal with the shepherds. His anger was kindled against those shepherds. And I believe God's going to judge some shepherds in this hour. Come on now, help me. Now, the last part of verse 3. The Lord said, well, the Lord of hosts hath visited his flock, the house of Judah, the house of praise, and had made them as his goodly horse in the battle. God has a horse company, I call it, or a horse people. Amen? So you can be called a horse. Okay. Now, verse 3. 4. Out of him came forth the corner, out of him the nail, out of him the battle bow, out of him ever oppressor together. Verse 5. And they shall be something. What are they going to be? Help me.
Mighty
men which tread down their enemies in the mire, in the mud of the streets. And listen to what he said. They shall fight. Because the Lord is with them. And the riders, here it is, on horses, okay, this is the other company now, shall be confounded. That's the enemy. And I'm going to strengthen the house of praise. And I'm going to save the house of Joseph. And I'll bring again to place them, for I have mercy upon them. They shall be as though I had not cast them off, for I am the Lord their God, and will hear them. Now, look down to verse 8. I'm just skipping down real quick. I will do something. Come on, help me. I will hiss for them, or whistle for them, or call them, and gather them, for I have redeemed them. They shall increase as they have increased. Now notice something. He's going to whistle for them. He's going to gather them together, which means they're going to come running. I have redeemed them. They shall increase as they have increased. There's going to be spiritual growth. Now, notice they're redeemed. Turn to Revelation 14. Hold your place there. Got all kind of fingers going here. Revelation 14. Hallelujah. My Bible's so tore up. Not yet, people. I've got new ones at home, but I need to get into them. Right, Greg? Chapter 14. I think people feel sorry for me because I got a bad Bible. I mean, a tore up Bible. Revelation 14. Look at verse 1. He talks about 144,000. How many know they're not Jehovah's Witnesses? Come on, help me. Verse 2. I heard a voice from heaven as the voice of many waters, and they were harping with their harp, not just harping. Come on. Verse 3. They sung as it were something. A new song where? Before the throne, before the four beasts and the elders. No man can learn that song. But the 144,000 that was?
We're redeemed from the earth.
Redeemed, come on, from the earth. Then look at verse 4. These are they which were not defiled with the harlot Jezebel church. How many know we're not talking about natural women? How many know there's natural women in this group? There are women in this group. Are you hearing what I'm saying? These overcomers. Okay? For they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth, for they were redeemed from among men. Hallelujah. Being what? First fruits unto God and to the Lamb. What am I saying? They are the redeemed of the Lord. They are the army of God. Now back in Zechariah 10, what did he say in verse 8? He said, I will hiss, I will call, I will whistle for them. I will gather them. I have redeemed them. And they're going to increase as they have increased. And I'm going to sow them among, he says here, in far countries and so forth. Now let's go back to Isaiah 13. I believe when the Lord raises his army up, he's going to literally pick them up like he did Philip and throw them around the world.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Amen. Anybody want to be in that?
Hallelujah.
Yes. Hallelujah. Can you imagine today in Hot Springs, tomorrow in Russia? Or some other place? Okay. Isaiah 13, but it'll be for the right reasons. Amen. Back in Isaiah 13, he said in verse 3, I have commanded my sanctified ones, I have also called my mighty ones for mine anger. So God's anger is coming to the boiling point, so to speak. For mine anger, even them that rejoice where? In my highness, the noise of a multitude in the mountains, like as of a great people, a tumultuous noise of kingdoms of nations gathered together. And that's what we see in Revelation 16. The Lord of hosts. Now notice here, it says the Lord. In Revelation 16, it said devils. Are you hearing me?
Yes.
He's going to use devils, isn't he? Come on, help me now.
Yes.
The Lord of hosts mustereth the host of the battle. But how's he going to do it? He's going to use devils to do it. Are you hearing me?
Yes.
They come from a far country. Now look at this. Here he's saying they, his people, come from a far country, from the end of heaven, even the Lord, and the weapons of his indignation to destroy the whole land. How many know God's got some weapons of indignation?
Yes.
Let's look at it. Turn to Daniel 2. Daniel 2. You reckon we have any enemies that God has let loose on us? Come on. God used the enemy to prove Israel over in Judges, chapter 2 and 3. Where did I tell you to go?
Daniel.
Daniel 2:44. Praise God. I'm glad somebody's listening. All right. Daniel 2:44. Look at this verse. For as much as thou sawest, Daniel, that the stone that was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that break in pieces the iron, the brass, and the clay, and the silver, and the gold, the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter, and the dream that is certain, and the interpretation, it is what? It is sure. Hallelujah. I want you to notice, God has one cut out of a mountain. A stone, amen, that's cut out without hands. And it break in pieces. It broke the iron, the brass, the clay, and the silver. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And then back down in verse 44. That's 45. Verse 44. I missed 44. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom. So we're talking about the kingdom of God. We're talking about a kingdom people. which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. So God has a kingdom that's going to destroy the Antichrist system. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And so, and then we go to another scripture. Let's go to Jeremiah 51. Jeremiah 51 in the Old Testament. Hallelujah. Jeremiah chapter 51. And look in verse 20. Verse 20. And here Jeremiah says, "Thou art my battle axe and weapons of war. With thee will I break in pieces," there's that word pieces again, "the nations, and with thee will I destroy kingdoms." So God has his weapons of war. Now, turn to Revelation 2. Hallelujah. Revelation 2, verse 26 and 7 and 8. Revelation 2, 26. And the scripture says that he that overcometh and keepeth my works to the end, to him, the overcomer, will I give power over the nations. The nations. Anybody want to help rule the nations? He didn't say he was going to heaven and pluck harps and just stay there all the time. Verse 27. And he shall rule them, the overcomer shall rule the nations with what? As the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers. Jesus said, even as I received of my Father. So as the Father gave Jesus this promise, he's also given it to the overcomers to rule with him. Are you hearing what I'm saying? We're not going to rule apart. We're going to be with him. Amen? We're going to rule with Jesus. Somebody say amen. And I'm going to give him, come on, the morning star. Now look in Revelation 16. I'm sorry, 22:16. 22:16. I don't have it in my Bible. Oh, here it is. Boy. David. No, I got it. 22. I know. Well, I got some new ones, Brother Trench. I just need to get a hold of them and bring them with me. 22:16 of Revelation. Now, look at this verse. I, Jesus. This book has Jesus' special endorsement. I, Jesus, have sent my angel. Now, that angel is a prophet. The Bible tells us in chapter 22, he's a prophet. He's a prophet that's went on in, you know, evidently physically it must have died and went into the heavens. But he said, I sent my angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I'm the root and offspring of who? David. And the bright and
morning star.
Now let's look at it. Let's go to Isaiah 11. How many want that morning star in your heart today? Amen. Now, in Isaiah 11, look at verse 1. Here, we're talking about the Lord, the seven spirits of God, the fullness. That was in Jesus. And how many know he wants the fullness to come in us? Now, if you go back to the Revelation and read about the seals, the mysteries of God being broken, you'll see that as those seals are broken, God's power is being released into the earth. And every seal that's broken, every mystery that's broken, God's put more power in his people. But as we can handle it. But with the power, there's got to be the fruit. Isn't that right?
Amen.
The character and nature of Christ. Now look in chapter 11, verse 1. And there shall come forth a rod. Now what does a rod speak of?
Authority.
Speaks of authority, speaks of resurrection life. Okay? There shall come a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. Now, how many know that David came out of Jesse? Is that right? In fact, David was a 10th generation man. How many know there was a curse in that bloodline? You read the last chapter in Ruth, you'll see David's number 10. Okay? How many know curses are on 3rd and 4th generation, but some, there's a 10th generational curse. Isn't that true? But here it says, that David came out of Jesse, his father, and Jesus came out of the stem of Jesse. Well, who's the stem? It's David. Come on, help me now. And then he said, a branch shall grow out of his roots. Now turn to Isaiah 60. Hallelujah. Isaiah 60, 21. Now, I believe Jesus is all this, okay? But how many know he's raising the people in his image? We got to see him first. Don't misunderstand me. In Isaiah 60, 21, thy people also shall be all righteous. They shall inherit the land forever. The branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be what? Come on. But who's he talking about in verse 21, the first part of it? Thy people shall all be made righteous. Now he said, I am the vine. Come on, help me. You are the branches. Now Proverbs 11. Proverbs 11. Hallelujah. In chapter 11, in verse 28, it says, he that trusteth in his riches shall fall. Reckon in America's doing that?
Yes.
Well, I think so. But the righteous shall flourish as a branch. The righteous. That's what he said in most scriptures, the righteous. Amen? Praise God. What am I saying? Jesus, that morning star. David come out of Jesse. Jesus came out of the stem. And how many know we're coming out of him?
Yes.
Come on, help me. Amen? Eve came out of Adam. Is that right? And you know, I'd like to teach on this if I could this time. I don't know if I can. But in the tabernacle, how many know there was a seven branch candlestick or lampstand? And you had the three branches, and the center shaft, which speaks of, you can teach Passover, Pentecost, and tabernacles in that. But that center stem, that center one, speaks of Jesus. How many know he is the primal one again tonight? Isn't that right? But those branches came out of that center shaft. Isn't that right? And that word shaft means loins. We're out of his loins, brethren. We're out of him. How many know that only God could design the new man? Only God could desire the new man. And only God can demonstrate the new man.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Which is his word, his will, and his work.
Yes.
In a people. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Now let's go to Isaiah chapter 5 just a minute. Now we read a while ago where that he's going to whistle for these people. He's going to whistle for those mighty ones. Amen. I believe it's Isaiah 5, I think. Isaiah 5. Yes, in chapter 5, verse 26. Hallelujah. It says, and he will lift up an ensign to the nations from far, and will hiss, there it is, unto them from the end of the earth, and behold, they shall come with speed swiftly. They're going to drop everything. How many know tomorrow God could say, drop everything and leave everything behind and follow me? I'm talking about his people now, okay? And notice what it says here. None shall be weary, nor stumble among them. Throw your vitamin pills away. Hallelujah. This time. None shall slumber nor sleep. No foolish virgins in this group. Neither shall the girdle of their loins be loosed. Amen? Amen. Your girdle will be killing you when he gets through you, right? Okay. Nor the latchet of their shoes be broken. Here's his army. Whose arrows are sharp. All their bows bent and their horses' hoofs. So here's that horse coming. Shall be counted like flint, their wheels like a whirlwind, their roaring shall be like a lion. How many know he's the lion out of the tribe of Judah?
Yes.
And these are going to be the young lions. Come on.
Amen.
They're going to roar like a lion. They shall roar like young lions.
Yes.
Yea, they shall roar, lay hold of the prey, and shall carry it away safely. None shall deliver it, and so forth. Praise God. So the Lord is going to hiss. He's going to call for this mighty army. He's going to assemble a people together. Can you say amen? Who are they called? They're called the overcomers.
Yes.
Amen? They're called the overcomers. Let's go to Revelation 19. Hallelujah. Revelation 19 and verse 17. I believe it is. Praise God. No, it's verse 14. Revelation 17, 14, I should say. I'll get it right in a minute. Revelation 17, 14. It said, these shall make war with the Lamb. We're talking about the beast system here now. But if they're going to make war with the Lamb, the Lamb's in me, and the Lamb's in you, how many know you're going to get involved in war? You know, you ask people, are you in war, and they know what you're talking about? If you're following Jesus, how many know you're in war? Come on, help me now. Huh? You know, that war with Hussein's nothing compared to this war. Isn't that right? These shall make war with the Lamb. But the Lamb shall, come on, help me now, overcome them. For he is Lord of lords, King of kings, and they that are
with him.
Now, wait a minute. They that are what?
With him.
With him. Anybody with Jesus tonight?
Hallelujah.
They that are with him. They're called. Come on, help me. They're chosen. They're faithful. All right, back to Revelation 14. Who's with him? Verse 1, I looked. Lo, a lamb stood. How many know he stood up when Stephen died? Is that right? And Jesus, in Revelation 5, it said he stood as a lamb, though he'd been slain, but yet he's standing, he's resurrected. Amen? And here it says, I looked and a lamb stood on Mount Zion. Zion there means the church militant and triumphant. Write it in your Bible. Okay? But look at this next verse. And with him. Come on, help me now. 144,000. Do you know that's more than a number? That's a nature. It's more than a number. It's a nature. Now, turn to Revelation 20. How many want his nature? I know you do. Hallelujah. We need it, don't we? Revelation 20, verse 4. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. That's exactly what Daniel 7 says. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God. How many know John starts the whole book of Revelation with that right there? He was in the outer Patmos for the word of God. Amen. And for the witness of Jesus. Is that right?
Amen.
And John, from that statement, identified all through the book of Revelation, all down through the centuries, of those also that would be persecuted and even martyred. Are you hearing me?
Yes.
And I'm not saying John was martyred, but I'm saying he identified with those people. But he says here, for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, not his image, not that received his mark upon their foreheads, or in their hands, and they lived and reigned, notice this, with Christ 1,000 years. Amen? But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. But what's the first word of the next verse?
Blessed
are blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they're going to be something. Priest of God and of Christ, and they're going to reign, now look at this, with him. 1,000 years. Anybody want to reign with Jesus? They that are with him are called, chosen, and faithful. Amen? And here's the people going to rule and reign with Jesus 1,000 years. Praise God. So he has a reigning class. Amen? Now, I want to share one other point. Let's go to Revelation 3. I'm just going by the Holy Ghost, okay? I threw Tommy's notes down. I'm going to the notes of the Holy Ghost. I mean, that's the notes we need anyway. Revelation 3. Praise God. I got to find it in this Bible somewhere. Hallelujah. 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 All right, look in chapter 3, verse 7 and 8. Now, if I ask you, you may have to give me a word or two here, okay? Because I got like squirrels been in this thing.
All right.
Okay, verse 7. To the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. Now, verse 8. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee what?
An open door.
Is it say open door or plural? Is it singular or plural? Okay. All right. And no man can shut it, For, what's the next word? Thou hast a little strength and hast kept my word and hast not denied my name. Now notice he said, I've set a door, an open door before you. Now let's go to Matthew 25. Let's see this door to these overcomers. The Holy Spirit spoke this one night to me. I didn't have to guess it. It was the Holy Ghost. How many have ever had the Holy Ghost speak directly to you? Amen. Into your heart. Nobody has to. I mean, you know it's God. Is that right? Amen. In chapter 25, verse 10. Here he's talking about the wise and foolish virgins in this chapter. And we know the wise were those who had the oil not only in their lamp, but also in their vessel or their soul. Christ had overshadowed their soul or mind, will, emotions, and desires at midnight. But here in verse 10, notice what it says. And while they, the foolish virgins, went to buy, the bridegroom came. Now, can I tell you something? There's going to be a people that's going to miss the best God has for them. How many know you can play a church and play around and miss what God has for you? You can hear every message, as our brother said, preached up here. But if you don't mix faith with it, if you don't do something about it, it won't do you no good. Isn't that right? And he said here, while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. Now this coming, I don't look at it as a literal coming, but it's a coming within the church. The fullness of Christ coming in the people. Now he's coming. Don't misunderstand me. He's coming out there, okay, in the air. He came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage. And I'm not talking about a table in heaven. I'm not talking about that either. And what? The door was shut. So that means somebody made it on the inside, right? And somebody was left out. Somebody made the marriage. Come on. Somebody missed it. Somebody had all to go in. Somebody didn't have all to get in. They had to go buy it. Isn't that right? Now, turn to Revelation 4. Lord, there's a lot of things I can say here. Revelation 4. Verse 1. After this, John said, I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. Come on, heaven is my throne. How many have ever read that? And the first voice which I heard was that, as it were, like a trumpet talking with me, which said, John, come up hither. I'm going to show you things that must be, come on, hereafter. Immediately I was in the Spirit, behold, the throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne, and he saw, of course, he saw the Lord on the throne. But notice what it says here, though. He saw a door in heaven. He went through that door into the heavenlies. He saw the throne. He saw the Lord. In Revelation, there was a door open, and there was a door closed. What am I saying? That door in Revelation 3 that Jesus said, I open a door, no man can shut, and shut a door, no man can open. That door to the first fruits and overcoming people is open to you and I today. We better take advantage of it now. All right, and if we do, by the grace of God, we'll make it and be part of that overcoming group. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Anybody want to make it? By the grace of God. Amen. I'm not talking about now dying, going to heaven. I'm not talking about. I'm talking about overcoming and being caught up. Now look in Revelation 12:5. Revelation 12:5. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations. Didn't we see that a while ago in chapter 2? With a rod of iron, her child was caught up to God. Come on. And to his throne. Caught up to God. God is a spirit, isn't he? God is the word. God is light. Come on. God is love. Caught up in that dimension with God. And to his throne. What is the throne? It's government, it's rulership, amen, and so forth. Dominions, all kinds of things we could talk about with the throne. It's a place for the overcomer. Caught up to the throne of God. So there's a door being opened for you and for me tonight. It's a door to be part of that overcoming group. But as I'm standing here, there's going to be a people make it, there's going to be a people miss it. Amen? Now, if you say, God, I want to be part of that group. How many know he'll hear your cry? But how many know he'll send tribulation and fire your way? And if you still want it, you'll still submit to those things and say, Lord, I still want to be part of it. How many are going to make you part of it? I said, he'll do it. We can't do it ourselves. He's got to do it. Is that right? But there's things we have to do. Isn't that right? How many know that when you got saved, the imputed righteousness was given to you? It was by grace. You didn't do anything. I didn't do anything. There was no works involved. But after we're saved, how many know there is some works involved? It's imparted righteousness now. How many know that he's wanting us to not only have the garment of salvation on, but also now the robe of righteousness? Come on, look in Revelation 19. I could go on and on with this all night. What time is it? 9:30? Revelation 19 and verse 7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come. Remember, they went into that marriage feast in Revelation, Matthew 25:10. His wife hath made herself ready, for to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is what? The righteousness or the righteous deeds of the saints. You didn't do any righteous deeds when you got saved. How many is the blood of Jesus saved you? It's after you come to Jesus that you do righteous deeds. Isn't that right? Verse 9, and he said, right, blessed are those that are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true sayings of God. Now, let me ask you a question. You know in Matthew 25, the door was shut, right? Somebody was inside, somebody couldn't get in. Now, will that door ever open up? Look in Luke 11. Let me show you this in Luke 11. How many of you got a study to show yourself approved unto God? Isn't that right? All of us. Look at verse 5 of chapter 11 of Luke. Hallelujah. Which of you shall have a friend and shall go to him when? At midnight. And say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. How many of those? Passover, Pentecost, Tabernacle. 30-fold, come on. 60-fold, 100-fold. If you're a 30-folder, how much flesh you got hanging off of you? 70%. If you're 60, you got how much?
40.
And if you ever make, if you're 60, you got 40. That means we're on the back 40 going west with a hammer down, somebody said one time. But how many know God wants us to attain to the 100-fold? We're not there. Don't misunderstand me. How many know God wants us to begin to move in that walk in the Spirit with him?
Yes.
But you have to train yourself. Isn't that true?
Yes.
It's daily. Isn't that right? Amen. But here he says, he wanted 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. For he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now what? Come on, help me. It's shut. That means they couldn't get in. My children are with me in bed. They're in that heavenly rest, that intimacy. Let me tell you, you've got 2 choices now. I'm going to tell you what it is. You can get in bed with Jesus or Jezebel. Right here is Jesus. In Revelation, it's Jezebel. I mean, there's quite a contrast there. And my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto thee, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. Well, if you're going to give him bread, what's going to happen? Come on. Door's got to open up, isn't that right? Spiritual door. We're not talking about a natural door. Come on, amen? Here it's bread. In Matthew's oil. How many know what's going to take you through? The Word and the Spirit. Amen? That's the 2 witnesses. It's not just 2 men. The 2 witnesses in a people. Worldwide. Hallelujah. Any questions? I'll close stop right there. I've just shared what was on my heart tonight, okay? Well, in the spirit, we're not looking at male or female, okay? We're not looking at that. In Christ, there's neither male nor female. And God is raising up the church of the firstborn. It literally means the firstborn ones. You see, Elisha wanted the firstborn, he wanted the double portion, didn't he? And the firstborn got the double portion. He was a priest of the family. He received the blessing of the family. He, you know, he could bless others. But Elisha wanted that firstborn right, okay? Okay, which is that double portion. And he got it. Do you remember what Elijah said, though? You've asked a hard thing. And two things. He went where Elijah went, and he saw him when he left. And the mantle came down. I mean, no, Elijah went up, and the mantle came down. Jesus went up, and the Holy Ghost came down. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And you say amen. All right, somebody else got a question. Praise God. Where are we at? Well, yeah, we have, well, we know in the natural there's the firstborn. But we're dealing mainly, and then some of the firstborn in the Bible was rejected because of their, like Jacob, Reuben. He went and defiled his father's bed. He was rejected. Remember that? In Chronicles? Okay. But we're talking about a people with the character of Jesus, the nature of Christ, that's going to be in this overcoming group. Somebody else. Joseph's a beautiful picture of that. Somebody else? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. He truly has an army tonight. But in the natural, we know there are armies, but not everybody goes into the army. And don't think everybody's going to be in God's army. Amen? But he's calling those to be part of it tonight. No, okay, it's a symbolical thing more than a natural to me. That's the way I look at it. You take, 12 by 12 is what? 144 times 10 by 10 by 10. I'm just throwing this one. There's a lot. I could go into that. Okay, 12 times 12 is 144. And then 10 by 10 by 10 is 144,000. You add all that up. Okay, 10 by 10 by 10 was a holy of holies dimensions, okay? In the tabernacle. So these are holy of holies people, our overcomers that's pushed in or pressed into that hundredfold realm, okay? And that's who I see. I don't see it as a literal number because I see it all through the Bible as, you know, different factions, different names and so forth. But more than a literal number, I see it as a symbolical number. It's worldwide. But there's other parts. That's just a small smidgen. There's more I could give you on that. John? Yeah, that's it right there. The fullness. Right. Well, the word seed. The word seed was what? Zero. It's like our word zero today. And there are three zeros in that 144,000. It's like zero, zero, zero. Or we would say seed, spirit, soul, and body. It's the fullness of Christ in a people. Okay? I mean, that's kind of complicated, but you get a hold of it, you'll see that we're talking about moving into the Holy of Holies, the full dimension of Christ in people. People's come into his fullness, his image, his likeness, okay? Hallelujah. Anybody else? If you got any more questions, David's got all the answers. He's right over here. Let's stand. May the Lord bless you. I mean, I'm looking forward to hearing some of the other brethren. But tonight, I just completely left all that I had. We went the way of the Holy Spirit. I didn't drum this up. This is God, okay? How many know we have to obey the Holy Ghost? Amen? How many know if you're going to be led of the Holy Spirit, how many know you're going to be in a crisis? Because he's going to, isn't that right? You're going to get in circumstances and situations at times, and he's going to have you to do things. You just don't want to do it in your flesh, but you have to do it, don't you?
Yeah.
You may look like a fool. Come on, sometimes. Isn't that right? But how many would rather be a fool for Christ than for the enemy? Come on. Amen? Hallelujah. Father, we bless you. We thank you that there is overcomers coming forth. Lord, there is the firstborn. Lord, even though midnight is facing us, Lord, we know that there's a people that's full of light. And Jesus, you're the light. And you said it even in the Word that we're the light of the world. And we thank you, Lord, that you're coming forth in all of us, and we bless your name, we bless your people, and we bless the ministers that are here. And we ask you to bless them and use them in a mighty way in this meeting, Father. Give them visions, dreams, revelations, Lord, insights, perceptions, discernment in the things of God. Let them see by the eye of the Holy Spirit, Lord, and let the people see as well. We ask it in Jesus' name, and everybody said,
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Get a good night's rest. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.